Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the ghost of multiple cats return to one listener and why? A man recounts a terrifying experience with a strange paranormal force from childhood. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like the program and want to keep us on the air, then go to ghostpodcast.com, get access to all the advanced episodes, get yourself a free e-copy of the book, and most importantly, you get EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. Yeah, every single week, 52, that's 52 weeks in a year. Yep, 52 a year. Just got to make sure I'm right on how many weeks are in here. And there you go. Get all that at ghostpodcast.com when you become an EPP, extra podcast person. Tony and Sean joining you on today's episode. And how are you this fine day?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. The countdown is on. The first time I get to use my passport.
Oh, where are you going?
Scotland.
You're going to Scotland.
Going to Scotland.
What is this? This seems more than just like the, hey, I think I'm going to go to St. Louis this weekend to watch a baseball game. This seems a little more extreme.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go. I just have come to very much like it there, or so I believe I would.
You've never been there.
What was that?
You've never been there. So how can you say you like it there?
It's funny, don't you ever, when someone is, I don't know, they're looking to apply for a job, or they're looking to major in a certain subject in college, or, I just seem that I would like it. And you just want to interrupt them and say, you have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
I just did that.
thank you for doing that. And from what I can see on the Google, and from what others have said that have been there, I have never been out of the country in my 3+ decades of life, and not been on a cruise, not been to Mexico, not been to Canada. Mm-hmm. And, I just I want to go. A couple weeks ago, looked online, and there's many a sites to get lower airfare and found a deal. And, some people book months in advance for their first international trip. I have 9 days.
God.
Woo!
Did you book it like from Vic's Flights and More or something.com where it's
it,
like
it was and obviously they're not paying the show here, but it's called Sky Scanner. Uh-huh. Sky Scanner. I would imagine it's like an international price line, if you will.
Okay. So basically tries to find open seats that are cheap on last minute flights.
Yeah, and okay. you can put in specific dates that you want to go, or if you just want to kind of go somewhere and you don't know when, you put in pretty much any time, and then you can they'll show you the cheapest month, or they'll show you the cheapest departures and arrivals. And it just so happened that coming up here, we're recording this show here in early March, third week of March, rolling to Edinburgh for a week.
Wow. Well, I'm interested in hearing more about what your plans are while you're in Scotland, and we can talk about that between some of the stories here on the show. This should be interesting. So we'll go to more of that in just a few minutes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump into our first story. It says, hi, I'm so glad I found your show. I was a big fan of the Coast to Coast radio back in the day and was searching through the Coast to Coast archives on YouTube, and I found this show. I'd love a good ghost story, but now I have one of my own. Back in 2008, I had just gone through a divorce, so I needed to find a new place to live. Shortly after moving in, my children were asking if they could have a cat at my house because they also had a cat at their mom's. We found a cat, named her Lily, but something was wrong with her. She was sickly, and a few months later, Lily disappeared. My kids and I figured Lily went off somewhere to die. We were pretty sad, but fortunately, someone gave us another cat that we named Harper. I think it's important to the story to tell you that I very seldom let the cat in when I'm alone because this cat likes the outdoors. And plus, I don't like the smell of the litter box. But when my kids are here, they bring the cat inside all the time. Not long after we got the cat, I started noticing when I came home from work in the evenings as I was sitting on the couch watching TV or maybe in the kitchen eating, I noticed Harper was in the house. At first thought, I figured she sneaked in while I opened the door and not paying attention. I'd be watching TV when I would see her in the corner of my eye, but only for a few minutes later, I'd see her outside looking in. Looking back, I'd have to say this happened a lot. At the time, I wouldn't pay much attention to it, but after a while, I finally took notice that I know I just saw the cat inside, but I'd never let the cat back in. And a few minutes later, I'd see the cat on top of the car, asleep, or in the brick rail that wraps around the house. It kind of made me think something strange was going on. I never let the cat in when I'm alone because I have had to deal with fleas, litter box, odor, all that. And I don't want to let her in unless the kids are here. Why do I see a cat a lot of times in the corner of my eye in different rooms only for it to not be there? When I look, then find out the cat's actually outside. Being home alone, I don't think about telling people, and besides, I do not think about it unless it happens. Then one day, my 8-year-old daughter was here playing in her room. Of course, now that my kids are home, Harper will be in the house. My daughter came downstairs and looked at me with this puzzled look and said, "Dad, I keep seeing a cat in the corner of my eye, and it's not Harper because Harper is asleep right there on the chaise." That's when the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I asked her to explain what she meant, and she described to me exactly what I've been experiencing when I'm alone. I just haven't thought about telling anyone. She said she saw, or thought she saw, Harper walk in the playroom upstairs. So, she went to the playroom to get Harper, and took Harper. Cat was asleep downstairs in the den on the chaise. My other two kids never experienced this, which is very odd because my other kids are a little less believable if they told this story, but my youngest is honest all day long. I like to think she's the one who would not tell this story. Now, these cat-seeing visions are still going on, but I guess we're so used to it that we tell people we have a ghost cat. And naturally, whoever lends an ear to hear the story, they laugh and say, "Cool story." But one night a few years later, which was about 2 years ago, my good friend Grant, I'll call him G, was over visiting, watching a football game with me. G was sitting to my right on an ottoman and I at my house, which you know means there are no cats in the house. I saw a cat walk in the room in the corner of my eye, but only for a split second. At the moment I saw the cat to my right, G turned his head left and with his left hand reached down to pet who he thought was Harper. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Petting Harper." That was his look on his face. Oh my God. He then told me he felt the presence of a cat walk in to his left, which was to my right, but there was no cat. Later on, about a few hours later, when G was leaving, we saw Harper outside snoozing on the carpet. Now 3 people have experienced my ghost cat. I think that's one of the more convincing pet stories I've ever heard on the show. A lot of times it's just like, I kind of sense it, I can feel it on my bed, which I get, and that's pretty convincing. But here's, you have 2 people seeing this thing out of the corner of their eye, one thinking, oh, it's the cat, thinking nothing ghostly, goes to pet it, and it's not there. The other one also seeing it too. It's probably that first cat, I'm thinking, that, you know, really did like them, but unfortunately kind of got the shit end of the gene pool.
I, if anything, would be reassured that I'm not going crazy, because sometimes you see things out of the corner of your eye, you're just thinking about them so much that clearly they're not there. You just believe you see them, and 2 people that you did not tell this to, they see your cat. How, I'm just curious how the conversation would go when his friend G is petting Harper and he lets G know that, yeah, you know, Harper passed away in 2007. The hell am I petting?
Yeah, exactly. That's a big, it's like a tumbleweed. It's a big, I'm thinking because we're talking vacation earlier. That's just a big tumbleweed of pubic hair that's rolling around my house. That's disturbing as shit.
We just put a bell and a color around it because it just looks like it looked like Harper.
It's a collection.
We didn't want to throw it away during that spring cleaning one year, so we just there you have it.
I live alone, and my therapist said I needed a hobby, so I decided I'd just start saving it every time I shaved, and that's what we got. People think it's a cat.
Why are you leaving? Where are you going? Come back.
The game's
Let's
still
have
on.
Coffee. The game is at halftime still.
Is it the cat or a giant ball of pubic hair rolling?
Find out after the break.
On the next Growing Pains, Jason Seaver. God. Boner. Did you? Oh, God. And then we could go really bad. So there you go. That is a bizarre thing to have happen. We had a dog a couple years back, Lena, and she, another animal that unfortunately just got the crap end of the gene pool, and was just, a young dog, but perpetually sick. And the vet even's like, yeah, there's probably something wrong with the genetics of this animal because she doesn't like have an immune system. And there really wasn't much. I mean, you couldn't really boost it up artificially. I mean, you could, but you'd be always artificially boosting it. And then the drugs that you'd have to take to do that would make her sick. So, I mean, it was just, this dog was perpetually ill, throwing up every day, couldn't control her bladder. And it was sad. And she was a nice animal, but unfortunately, genetics sucked for her. And she was going to just continue to live a miserable life. So rather than her be in pain all the time and sick, we decided, it'd be best if we just put her down so she doesn't have to live this horrendous life. So we did, and that sucked. But it was funny because a couple days later, we had no other pet in the house at all. Her leash had a very distinctive sound to it, kind of that rattling. Everybody has, whatever their tag is, the sound of your pets when they come by, if they have a leash and something on it. This leash is, we kept her leash and we put it away, in a drawer or box or something. So it's not like just sitting around the counter or somewhere like a fan's going to hit it. And all of a sudden in the other room, you heard the leash and it sounded like she was walking around the other room. It's like, where's her leash? And I thought maybe, Harper had gotten it or something and walked to the other room. No noise, but the leash still in the drawer. It's not being touched. Nobody's has access to this thing. And Harper was by no means tall enough to even reach where this thing was. And Harper was with us, too. So there was no, just trying to find a logical explanation. But that happens quite a bit, where at least sometimes temporarily, where the pet comes back. I know my parents, when their cat died, when Scruffles died about a couple years back, they could hear her claws walking around on the floor in the kitchen after she had passed for several nights. And it was around the same time every night. The cat kind of had her routine. She'd go up there and eat at a certain time, and they heard the cat. And the cat's dead, obviously. So, but it's interesting that this one stuck around for as long as it did.
There's interesting connections that pets have with their owners. I would say, quite honestly, in some regards, a closer bond, a tighter bond, more of a best friendship than some humans have, some relatives have with each other.
Sure.
And most recently here, this is just a few months ago and I was actually telling you about it, I went back to Wisconsin, our family dog, my mom's dog, Golden Retriever. She what really sucks is those, and nothing against smaller dogs and the yipping dogs, but they live to be like 20, 21, 24, 70. The big, amazing, huge, large teddy bears like Golden Retrievers, they cap out at Great Danes. They cap out at like 10, 11, 12, maybe, which makes no sense. Angel, we had to put her down. She was almost 10. And my mom very distinctly had said that the first couple of weeks after she had put her down, heard her collar, her leash.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly she's not there. So she was just coming on back to say, hey, that was a tough decision, that I was sick. You had to make the very tough decision to, end my time here on Earth. And I just wanted to say, hey.
Now, it's interesting how they can kind of come back and give you that little message. I mean, nobody ever think. I mean, not just to say nobody, but we traditionally think of ghosts as being, you know, human based. But I think pets are just as likely, in fact, sometimes more likely, I think, to stick around. I think they may be a little bit more confused even than people as to what the hell's going on. This is new. But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences. Next letter says, my incident happened 57 years ago. Was a few years old at the time. I woke one night, more than a few years old at that time. It doesn't even list an age, just was years old at the time. So I guess we'll insert mystery age here. I awoke one night around 3 a.m. and for some reason, I was extremely thirsty. The layout of the house I lived was creepy as hell. The kitchen and bathroom were located in the back section and the light switch was on the far south wall. I hated that place after dark. Did not want to get up to go get my water, so I did the usual childhood trick. I called out to my mom. Mom and Dad's room was right across the hall. If a child is even breathing weird, that feeling, my mother will wake up instantly to check on them. Well, I called out for Mom four times, got no response. Dad was a very hardworking man, and I knew I better not wake him up, so I knew I had to brave that spooky dark house by myself to get my water. I got my blanket and headed on foot to get the water. Had one foot on the floor when I froze. There on the floor, at the foot of my bed, it was sitting there. A little man. It was very dwarf-like. He was dressed all in white. His hair and skin were all white and his eyes were coal black. He was hunched down in the position, much like a baseball catcher. His left arm was resting on his left knee and his left hand was resting against his cheek. He was gnarling at me. The look on his face told me, go ahead, get up, and your ass is mine. I never got my water that night. And from that day on, I always slept with a pillow over my head. I never want to see that little creep again. That was the start of what will become a lifetime of paranormal experiences that continue to this day. I'm always confused by the stories like this where it's, I guess the expectation with a ghost human-like entity is that it's going to be your normal human-like thing. But when we get these stories, and I know he mentions dwarf, but I think he's almost kind of, just because the common thing that I hear when these sort of things pop up and they seem maniacal are almost like elves or leprechaun-type characters where they're really little, like not even human-like little, like smaller than children type characters. That, you know, almost, you know, garden gnome-ish, if they were real. And it's so bizarre because to me, I mean, that almost like goes into this whole other world of, legend and fairy tale, which we don't really talk about here. But I don't know. I don't know if it's one of those things where it's something kind of dark and that's the form it's taking because it knows it's going to impact the most fear into whoever is seeing it, just as if it took the shape of a child or took the shape of an animal or whatever it wanted it to do, that would have the greatest impact. I think that's kind of what's going on in these cases. I don't necessarily know that there's a little village of gnomes hiding out down the road by where the Smurfs legitimately live.
They actually might be, and they're doing some renovations to their latest townhome, Tony. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they are expanding.
Is Papa Smurf helping? Do you think the gnomes and the Smurfs work together?
I don't know if there's a joint venture, but let's be honest here. There's a lot of merging going on. There's a lot of consolidation going on in the world. And why really should it be any different on the paranormal side? There used to be a lot of family-run ghost entities. They're having to consolidate. So what you believe would never work together are joining forces. I think that when we have visitors from the other side, I think there's a lot of intelligence there. I believe that they can even tap into the subconscious of what, on a personal basis, of what a person is already maybe a bit fearful of. Yeah. And if they want to come back again, we talk about time and time again, we always go to fear when somebody or something comes back to visit. Not always the case. They may have missed us as much as we missed them, and they wanted to be inspirational or support or whatever the case may be. But in the situations where they do want to exercise some demons or to scare the hell out of you, or they're just sick pranksters when they were alive, they were the annoying friend who liked to prank everyone, which April Fool's Day can never happen again as far as I'm concerned. But they may know you're afraid of clowns. They may know that you don't like garden gnomes. Every time the Bill Shatner commercial comes on, you change the channel because it makes you crap your pants and forget your name for 30 minutes. So they, you know, may take the form of that and know that they're going to have that much more of an impact when they do scare the hell out of you or whatever emotion they want to invoke.
So when did you start having this fear of William Shatner?
You know, I don't want to talk about my personal Shatner issue there, Tony. Thank you very much. What I will tell you, though, it was actually T.J. Hooker. The first time I saw that after the news, it was the trilogy, if you will, here. Well, I should say there, as I'm in Arkansas now, but in Wisconsin. After the late local news, it was either Empty Nest, Golden Girls, or T.J. Hooker.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the program?
I know that it was a program. It was one that was never in my rerun options, so I never have seen it.
Okay. Well, to answer your question of my fear of William Shatner, he was a lead star there on T.J. Hooker.
Okay.
And this is 100% bullshit. So getting back to a bit more seriousness, we were talking about Scotland.
Yeah.
And going there and doing some investigating. They have, it's called the Edinburgh Castle. Edinburgh,
yeah.
Scotland, considered one of the most haunted places in all of Europe.
Yeah.
And various Cajun.
There's
this phantom piper, a headless drummer, the spirits of French prisoners from the Seven Years' War and colonial prisoners from the American Revolutionary War. So I'm going to fly 11 hours to experience that.
Are you going to visit?
I did plan on going there. That's one of the places that I'm going. I am not one of the... all the touristy things when you go to a place, if all the tourists go to that, I'm kind of the one or seven people that go as far away as humanly possible. I just want to experience things that, if I lived there, that I would enjoy. And there's a lot of, I just Googled free stuff to do in Scotland. And there's more than enough that I'm excited to enjoy that route.
Well, that should be an interesting one. I think we've gotten stories on the show over the years about that place. I know it definitely rings a bell. I couldn't tell you what those stories were, but I'm assuming you're probably going to come back with maybe a couple.
And what's interesting is we talked about a story before, even a ghost of a dog wandering in the grounds dog cemetery. So there you go.
Wow. There you go. Well, I'm excited. Now, aside from that, are you going by yourself?
I am going by myself. It is kind of just a trip to sometimes you whether it's stressed with work or relationship or you kind of just got to mix it up. I decided to say, you know what? I'm at a point in my life right now where I have the freedom to get the hell out of town for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to go to Scotland. So I thought, I'm going to do it. And me, myself, and I, and got the dog sitter. So you go.
Are you going to stay at hostels like in horror movies and like what all the kids in, like when we were in our early 20s, when they went and did some things like this, just kind of went and did because it was the thing to do?
And then they ended up on the news because they died. No. No, not going to do that. I am the and again, no plug here, but
yeah.
Airbnb.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
So there's a pretty cool a place that I found, and I booked the flight. I booked where I'm staying. Have a handful, if that, of places I'd like to see. Then I'm just going to go and experience it. Because my thought is, if you have an itinerary and get almost too detailed.
Yeah.
Then you're just going to, oh, crap, I'm supposed to spend 17 minutes here, but now I got to move on to here. And then there's
sure.
a, public transportation that's running behind. So I'm just going to take it for what it is, Google just enough to find a good place for a great cup of coffee. And I mean, it's Scotland. It's not like I'm just, you know, aimlessly going to be going to Chattanooga. Nothing against Chattanooga. It's lovely this time of year. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're experiencing an international trip, and so we'll see. It's going to be fun. And I'm really excited for my checking account to remain positive after.
There'll be a GoFundMe 2 days in.
2 days, 2 hours.
To get back home. Like, well, Sean wants to come back home. So far, we've raised $3.42.
What's very interesting is, short of the roommate here with four legs, I don't know, people tuning in, if they have a feeling of, I mean, ideally, I would love to get back home, clearly family and friends, etc. But, you know, if the returning flight that's scheduled for the end of March is delayed, like, I don't know, 3 months, I'm okay with that.
Where's what happened to Sean? Well, I think he's working as a painter, a castle painter in Scotland.
We've upgraded to the international Wi-Fi for Sean to join us on this show this week. We could do that. I think it works.
I've gotten letters from people literally saying exactly what I just said. I'm working on painting a castle in Scotland and listening to your show. And I'm like, well, that is fucking awesome. And one of the strangest things I've ever heard, because it's something I can't even contemplate. But that's pretty cool. So anyway,
Gerald, yeah, painting that castle right now. We appreciate you listening, sir.
You may be getting a call soon from Sean. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Next letter says, it was about a year since the death of my father's friend who had only lived down the street from us. And since after his death, weird things started to happen around the house, like footstep sounds in the hallway. A sense that somebody was outside and weird noises in the night. But the weirdest events happened on my birthday. All morning, I had been feeling sick for no reason until my friends came around for a sleepover. Nothing specifically bad happened after that until around the evening. After my six friends and I were full of sugar, one of my friends saw something and got freaked out. She said she sensed something around the tent we were sitting in. I got a bit sick in the stomach again and went outside the tent to our campfire, which my father had set up. But as soon as I got back in one of the two tents, my friend started telling us that she was getting freaked. Some of my other friends sensed something too before she even said anything, but never admitted it. So this led us to make a pact. Nobody would leave the tent without somebody else. My other friend, Shannon and Katrina, thought it was weird, but they went along with it. They were about to go to bed when mysteriously the tent wouldn't close. So everybody went crazy and ran to another tent, leaving behind phones, blankets, pillows, etc. Everybody was too afraid to go back for them. Another problem came to hand when the tent window was open, but being chickens, everybody stayed inside the tent. Not knowing it, the weirdest part of my birthday was about to take place. When staring wide-eyed out of the window, I saw a white, cloudy, and transparent form of a man holding a screwdriver or another object like that. I couldn't tell. The man shifted quickly across the window. Of course, since my friends were scared enough, I didn't tell them, but as soon as I heard my mother checking up on us, me and three of my friends ran quickly up the stairs to my bedroom. In the morning, I told my friends what I saw. They believed me because they felt the ghost presence, but they have never come over to sleep over since. I'm just so glad we chose not to watch that horror movie before the events took place, since after my birthday, one of my other friends told, while sleeping in my room, that she heard big, large footsteps down the hallway. She told me, I'm glad you closed your door, and I saw that goddamn ghost down your hallway. If I'd seen that goddamn ghost down your hallway, I would have never slept here ever again. And that's why you don't sleep in tents, kids. I've slept in a tent once in my life. I don't really have a fear of it, but that could make you kind of get a fear of it.
I do not see any enjoyment in sleeping pretty much out in the open. But rather than being out in the open where you can see everything if you hear a random noise, no, we're just going to put a sheet up. It's not going to protect you in any way. It's just going to make you even more terrified because you can't see shit.
Yeah.
No, again, nothing against people that love camping and have childhood memories of going to the cabin, camping, and fishing. My childhood memories include road trips to Disney World and a lot of Best Westerns.
Yeah, exactly. And holodomes and things of that nature.
If you're lucky, that was kind of if dad got a big Christmas bonus, the holodome, which had your standard seven arcade games outlining the pool, including pole position. And I believe NBA Jam, if you were lucky.
You know what?
And the Simpsons.
The Simpsons arcade game. What I remember most, you know, and I say holodome because they were holodomes at one time, but quite honestly, most of the, you're right, Holiday Inns are like, that was a special thing if you stay at the Holiday Inn. A lot of the Best Westerns that I stayed at were, or if it wasn't a Best Western, it was, you know, a Huddle House or something other that was, you know, very much, it was once a Holiday Inn, but it had fallen below the standards of Holiday Inn, and then something else took it over. But you knew it was a Holiday Inn at one point in time because it had a holodome. And then you go, oh, this is a Holiday Inn once. That's good enough. Never mind, like, all the pubic hair in the bathtub that was left behind. Two times now on the show we've gotten to this topic of adding pubic hair, and I don't know why.
It used to be a Holiday Inn, though, in 1992.
But now it's the whatever, the red roof or whatever it was. But there was many where it was like, oh. And then slowly through the years, you can see the evolution of these places because a lot of them still exist as something. And you get in and the dome is still there. But they realized that having an Olympic-sized swimming pool in a budget hotel wasn't really feasible at some point. And then it was just kind of like they made it into a green space and they kind of put some foosball tables in and a smaller pool. And then that even went to shit in most of these. And then it's just like, well, now there's just some really bad lawn furniture that we bought at the Goodwill that's sitting out there. There's ashtrays, even though it is technically a non-smoking facility, but there's ashtrays out here. And then somebody's, you know, like three or four half-drinking bottles of beer that have been sitting there that are on the ping pong table that's missing a leg. It's really kind of a sad evolution of what the holodomes were. If you can find one that's still in, like, functioning condition, it's like, holy shit, this is vintage. This is something to be seen. But they used to be, like, everywhere. And they were pretty cool back in the day.
It was definitely a highlight of families that road trip growing up, where you stay. And I think current day, they're, you know, you'll find when it's the best night in, and the S and best is a money sign.
Yeah,
and they're there, but they talk about their newly renovated putting green in the holodome. Excuse me, the best dome, the in dome.
Yeah,
what is actually just rampant mold that they didn't want to pay to get removed, so they made a putting green out of it.
It's now like Frank's Budgetel or Budget Inn or, you know, Motel 4, like, because it was once maybe a 6, but they lost that one too. So let's put another number up there. Maybe people won't notice. And
you being a father have already gotten to this point in your life. But upon me ever help procreating humans, the one thing that I hopefully will not be is a dad or a parent. That if there's a savings of $13 or $26 on a night at the hotel, you know what? Fuck it. I will pay $27 extra to play to stay in this brand new facility, opposed to this one that is talking about their new curtains that they got on the fourth floor. That I can get a savings, and it's only $39.99 a night, because that will scar my children. To make them have to stay in that, and to actually have to bring the sleeping bags
memories
from the van into the hotel room.
It's memories. You're making memories. There was a place that we stayed at in Colorado because we had no choice. There was no other hotel available. It was just kind of like this long stretch as we were going out to like the Great Sand Dunes and all that. And I won't say the name of it, but if you want to narrow it down, Oprah actually stayed there once, and it was a horror story on her show of, like, racial epithets and things that were involved in her stay at this place. And I think Gail King, like, slept in the car. You can look it up. But we stayed there, and I had no idea of these incidences until afterwards when I finally looked up the reviews. I don't know if it was a holodome at one time or what, but it had the dome thing going on, and it was under new management, supposedly. And they actually, the dome part It was kind of impressive. The pool part was nice. There was a lot of greenery going on. They didn't have the broken foosball table. I thought maybe, you know, they're working on this. It's a work in progress. The rooms, a little bit questionable. You could tell, you know, they still had a lot of renovating to do, a lot of things not in working order, but it was our only option. And we thought, okay. You know, all in all, it wasn't a horrible experience, but it was a place I'd go. I'm going to drive the extra 2 hours to the next piece of civilization rather than stay at this place again. But it was really worth it, more so than anything, just to find this place. Because whenever I need a good chuckle, I go to their TripAdvisor reviews and I just read them. Because it's just this horror story. I mean, if you ever want, you need like a theme for a horror movie, just read the reviews of this place and you go, holy shit, there's a part of the movie right there. Or there's the climax of the movie right there. And my favorite part is when management replies to the people and tries to make it better, or tries to like say, well, we're in the process of renovating, because they've been in the process of renovating for God knows how long now. Because this trip I think we took was like 6 or 7 years ago. So it's like, holy shit. But it's one of those genuine things along the road. It's it eventually will just be an abandoned roadside attraction where you'll see videos of people exploring it. Maybe they're doing that now. I've actually not looked at it in several years, but it was an experience.
It's funny you mentioned that. There is a group of people that go around and they essentially break into old hotels that have just been under new management for the fourth time, did not work, and they're just sitting there. And I'm not talking about ones that were built in 1898 or they were a castle. No, like 1981.
Yeah.
And now they're just sitting there. And to some, they could give two craps. I find it very interesting, and I would like to think that at one point or another, a business traveler or a family that was, I mean, there was an accident of sorts that maybe they wanted to recreate one of their family vacations, and they're hanging out there.
It's an interesting thing. I think I know the video, the series you're talking about. I can't think of what it's called, but they go to, they're active hotels. They rent a room, but they're in just absolute horrible condition. If we're talking about the same one, and they go in, it's a group of guys, and they do other abandoned exploring videos too, but this is like a series they have. And they then they like kind of do tests. They have like black lights and shit, and they just say how extremely dirty and disgusting is the room, and they just kind of make a, you know, a joke out of it, and then they stay there the night and shoot the shit. But it's like, who the hell 10 years ago would have said, I'm going to go and watch this for 20 minutes of my day? But you know what? It's better than most of the stuff on television. So I'm like, it is kind of, it sucks you in, and it's done very well. I found it just by looking up abandoned stuff one day and was very intrigued. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another letter. It says, my name's Rosa. I live in North Carolina. I'm 16. The house that we live in, we've lived in for 4 years. Weird things have been happening. It was a hot summer day back when I was 14. It was late at night and my brother was on the floor sleeping. So I got up, put him on the bed. When I carried him, I saw this lady by the bathroom door. I was scared out of my mind. I thought it was me. I was just seeing things. I was looking at her and she was staring hard at me. I didn't know how to react, so I just turned around to look away, and then I turned back to see, and there she was. She was gone. She was wearing a long white dress, dark black hair, very pale. That was my first experience of what I remember when I saw her. A month later, my dad said that he saw the bathroom trash can move. Later that same day, my aunt had visited us. She had just come from California. I was sitting across from her, and I was beside my dad. I saw my plate move. I thought I was just seeing things again, but my dad saw it too this time. We were freaked out, but we just let it go. My dad one day left to go to Mexico for an emergency, so my mom and I were alone in the room. It was around 3 o'clock in the morning. I swear I heard someone open the main door of our house, and I heard big footsteps as if he or she was wearing boots. I was scared. I thought my dad came home, or if he forgot something, or if someone came into the house to rob. Then I heard him or her sit down on the couch, and the couch squeaks every time you sit down. Well, it did then, and he or she got up and walked down the hallway. I was terrified. I was too scared to move. Then he stopped at my bedroom door and kept walking. Later, it went to my sister's room and then just disappeared. I didn't hear any more noises. I was scared, and I woke up my mom. We looked everywhere, and there was nothing in our house. My mom says that she hears boots or heavy footsteps in her house back when my dad used to go to work around 4 in the morning. A month ago, my sisters and I were home. We were sitting on our sofa watching TV. Then we heard as if someone wanted to open the door, but it was no one. There was no one there because we looked out our window and the footsteps began and the spoons and the pans in our kitchen fell. We thought it was because we had just finished washing dishes. Then as soon as they fell, the TV turned off and on. I knew it wasn't on time because if you put it on a timer, it wouldn't just turn on again. Then I told my dad and mom and they didn't believe me. A few minutes later, the TV turned off and on again. They thought it was because the power went out, but I told them no because the computer didn't shut down or restart. Last summer, me and my dad and my other sister and brother went to Mexico for vacation. My mom, sister, and my baby sister were home by themselves and said that they heard someone knocking on the door, but that it was nobody because they looked out the window and they said they kept knocking, but they didn't open the door because they didn't see anybody there. My mom said that it wasn't the first time that had happened. And last week, I went to the restroom and I saw the curtains move and then the toilet paper fell. It was very odd. I just went to the bedroom and I couldn't go to sleep. Still, that I know. It's a spirit or a ghost. I don't think it wants to do anything bad. Hopefully not. What are your guys' thoughts on this haunting? I think it's a difficult one to know if it's something that wants to do good or bad. Thus far, it hasn't really shown that it's trying to do anything bad, unless its intent is just to scare, because I think it's achieving that. And sometimes these things do continue to ramp up over time, but it's really difficult to know thus far if that's its intent. Thoughts?
Well, with the creaking of the chair and then no longer creaking, I thought to myself, maybe this visitor is some type of handyman wanting to take care of annoying things throughout the house.
Wouldn't that be great? Or,
it's like, ooh, I'm scaring you. This windowsill will no longer creak when you open it.
Notice the draft is gone. It's just me. Yeah.
Look at your heating bill. It's $32 cheaper this year.
I think it'd be awesome if there was handyman that actually talked like that in real life. That kind of saying. It was almost like a musical. Like they show up rather than just kind of being grunted at, which I get quite often. It's like, oh, hi, how are you?
What's the problem?
The toilet's backed up. I've tried plunging it. I've done everything that I could, and I'm at a loss.
Let me go to my van.
Yes.
And get the little snake.
That's what I would love. I would love if they just broke into song and they're like, hello, I'm here to save your day. Like, wow, this is...
Oh, I'm getting a call from a phone number. I don't know. I'm supposed to be expecting the plumber today. Hello, this is Johnson Plumbing and More. Henry will be there in roughly 30 minutes. Actually, he'll be there in an hour and a half because he likes to take too long of lunches. He is on probation and, well, quite honestly, your home will be his last job because we're terminating him when he brings back the company van.
And by the way, keep your children 500 feet distance because of the restraining order and law. He's a predator.
Yeah. I see here you have children. They're okay, but he has a thing with dogs. Please take them for a walk.
It's a remix to Ignition. Taking your dogs out the kitchen. I'm going to take them down the road. I'm going
to... You'll notice his name tag says R period John. He doesn't like to be referred to as Robert.
He gets very defensive and stands up and stares at cameras if anyone confronts him on the things that he's done. But there you go.
One more, Mr. Would you like to stay on the line for a two-minute survey performed in interpretive dance?
Everything would be so much better. I would totally be putting that on my... Just leave an Angie's List review as if that actually happened. Our people do not do interpretive dance, sir. I'm not quite sure why you got that impression. That wraps up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month access to all the advanced episodes, EPP bonus episodes, free e-copy of the book, and more. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.